each of you has vowed to be faithful. Each of you who is a member of this congregation at your confirmation or reception as a member by profession of faith has vowed the vows that you have in front of you on this sheet. Pull it out. To renounce evil, to be faithful unto death. We're going to take a moment right now and renew those vows, as it were. So please stand. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism, to be faithful and true? Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Do you intend to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work our Lord Jesus, our gracious Lord, has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts that God has given you?
I will, with the help of God.
This is your confession of faith, in which you announced publicly that you are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. As you have made this vow, you have now come to receive the Lord's Supper and have participated with us in all the blessings of salvation that the Lord has given to his church. Be seated. Throughout this season, in the midweek services, we will dive into each of those vows that you have made so that you may continue to be faithful. The first vow that we meditate upon this night: do you renounce the devil and all of his works and all of his ways? Now, why is a vow like that even necessary? Here you are in church, after all. It's necessary to renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways because you used to belong to another master. The devil was your master. The devil, who is the king of death, the prince of the power of the air, and the ruler of this world. He was your master. He kept you in slavery to him by the fear of death, as we read in Hebrews chapter 2. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. But as a slave in the devil's house of death, your flesh was happy. There you were, living in the uncontrolled passions of your flesh, carrying out the desires of flesh and mind, by nature children of wrath. You were sold under sin, and you did what your father, the devil, did. Lived in his lies, fed the insatiable cravings of the flesh. You felt yourselves free. But anyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. You were free in a way. As Paul puts it, you were free from righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is only death. What things? Well, as Paul says in Romans 1, those who did not see fit to acknowledge God as the only God and Master, well, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they did not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. This was you, too. This is the delight of your flesh, who gladly served a master who delivered only lies and death. But now, you serve another master. Jesus has saved you. You are his. Even when you were dead in your trespasses and sin, even when you were evil, God in his mercy died for you so that you might be his own. He loved you, and by his grace you have been saved. Jesus, by his own death, conquered death and made you alive together with him. It's that life-giving grace that your faith now receives and holds on to. It is that Holy Spirit that Jesus has given you that creates and sustains that faith. Jesus won and purchased you at a great price. You have now been raised and seated with Christ for life in the coming ages. You see, you have a new life now. You have a new kind of freedom. You have a new purpose, a new home, a new future. You do not belong to the devil anymore. Your future is in the new world to come, the new creation. You have been recreated in Christ to be an entirely new being. That's what baptism accomplished for you. There is no trace at all of the devil's claim on you, not a spot on your soul. There is nothing left for the devil to accuse you of, because all of his accusations of sin were poured into Jesus on his cross. And it is into that death on the cross that you have been baptized, that death and resurrection that followed. So the devil has nothing to scare you with anymore. There is no fear of death in you because Jesus has gone through death and out into life. And as you have been baptized into that Jesus, you also will go through death and inevitably be raised to new life. There is no other outcome. Jesus is your life now. Jesus is your king now. His home is your home. His land is your homeland. His ways and his works are your ways and his works. You have a new purpose. God has created you for good works now. God has even prepared those ahead of time for you to walk in. You are good and do good because Jesus is your master. So as Jesus is your master, you must reject the devil. You must renounce him and his kingdom and his works and his ways. You renounce the world. And in doing so, you've made powerful enemies. The devil and the whole world will attack you. But Jesus is stronger. So even though the world and all its princes sit plotting against you, you keep this vow that you have made by rejecting its works and its ways. You reject its methods, its assumptions, its philosophies, its supposed goods, and so reject its future and its destiny in destruction. You reject its ideas and assumption of how you spend your time and your money and your energy. You reject its assumptions of what to devote your life to. Your eyes to, your heart to. You reject what it says a worthy life is, what it is to be good or evil, what it is to be a good man or a good woman, what it is to be human. You reject what it says love is, or justice, or peace, or truth. Is it the purpose of our life to have ultimate self-autonomy, that no one gets to tell me what to do but me? Is it our ultimate purpose to do what makes us happy, no matter what it is? Or maybe just to go along to get along? No. We reject what the world says is right and modern and civilized, not because it's modern, but because it's evil. You will, and should, stick out like a sore thumb in this world. You probably seem strange and backwards to your worldly neighbors. You probably even make them feel uncomfortable. Not because of what you say or do necessarily, but because of who and what you are. Because you're no longer like them. You are no longer a child of wrath like the rest of mankind, but a child of God. You have a fundamentally different nature. And so if you are comfortable in this world, if you are not frustrated with the world's works and with its ways, beware. As Peter warns you, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, the devil is looking to drag you back into his domain by tricks or by force. He is a murderer from the beginning, and he wants you dead in his kingdom of death. And so he'll whisper sweet nothings into your flesh's rotten ears. Refuse to listen. You know that your old self was crucified with Jesus in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that you would no longer be enslaved to sin. Don't be fooled by the lie that you can just dip into sin, dip into the world, put on the coat of the world and the flesh and its ways throughout the week, only to doff it on Sunday and be holy once more. No. Don't take advantage of Jesus' limitless mercy. Don't do sin because you know Jesus will forgive you anyway. No. As Paul says, do not let sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. But what then? Are we to sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient to the heart, to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. So according to that teaching, avail yourselves of Jesus' protection, Jesus' wisdom, of Jesus' guidance, of Jesus' strength, of Jesus' life. Because faithfulness to the Lord, faithfulness to this vow, is and will remain a struggle. Though you have been created anew, still the old flesh is hanging around your neck. And the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit of God. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to one another to keep you from doing the things you want to do. This is what the Apostle Paul lamented when he confessed that he was of the flesh, sold under sin. good things he wanted to do, he was not doing. The evil things he didn't want to do, he was doing all of the time. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, he said. So you confess your sins. You confess your sinfulness in this place, and you hear Jesus forgive you. And in so doing, rob the devil of that ammunition against you. Rob him of the leverage that he uses to pry you away from Jesus. So you study the Word. You learn and you know the truth. And so you arm yourself with the Word, the sword of the Spirit, and are filled with that Spirit of life. Come to the sacrament. Be strengthened for the fight against flesh and world and devil, and be healed from the wounds that you are inflicted. And pray. Pray in every day. Pray in every circumstance. Ask what you need of the Lord, and God will give it to you. Call on Jesus' strength, and he will provide. And come here and live with Jesus' body. Live with your family, this new house of God. Because this church family is God's gift to you, even now, so that you would endure in the faith. Notice, as a church, as a family, we come together to confess our sins, to hear and study that word, to pray together and receive the sacrament. It is together that God gives us strength and life. So you don't have to face the devil's attacks on your own. You don't have to be ashamed to admit that he has wounded you, that he has trapped you. We are here to help each other. We are here to help you with your blind spots and your weaknesses, not just to point them out and laugh and say, we're better than you, or you better shape up, or you're out of here. No. But so that we might hold you up in your days of weakness. We might help get you free from the snares in which you are caught and bring you back to Jesus so that we may all endure together. You remember that image of the lion that we talked about just minutes ago? If you've ever watched a nature documentary, you see the ones that the lion goes after, the gazelle that he seeks out in the midst of the plains is not the whole herd, the one in the middle, but the one who's by himself. The one who is weak, who is vulnerable, who is alone. Come be here with us, so that together we may be healed and fed and endure. Come here, come together, come to your Lord, who will keep you in the faith by the power of his Spirit, who will keep you faithful to this vow for your sake and for the sake of those around you who need your strength too. Keep this vow so that you may live in God's kingdom and spurn all allegiance to Satan and his works and his ways. And so I will ask you again, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, answer, yes, I renounce them.
Yes, I renounce
them. God bless you with faithfulness to this vow until you receive the crown of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.